So if your passport is already stamped with a visa from the nation of Absurdistan, where do you go next? Many people visited author Gary Steingart's Absurdistan. His last book was a darkly comic view of a crumbling, dystopic kleptocracy in the developing world. His new book, Super Sad True Love Story, is a darkly comic view of a crumbling, dystopic superpower. It's a look at the absurdity of being Russian amidst the larger absurdity of being American, particularly a New Yorker, in the 21st century. Oh, and it's a love story. Gary Steingart, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you in the studio. Why is it uniquely and sort of inherently funny to be Russian in this century at this point in time?
Being a Russian is like being part of some vast historical practical joke, you know. I grew up in the Soviet Union, and we left when I was a child, and we thought, okay, we're never going to do failed empire again. And yet here we are. It just never ends.
You know, the kind of indie film movement is all about Americans being outsiders, but it seems like Russians being outsiders, they're much better at it, and they have a much darkly humorous view of what it means to be an outsider in almost every context.
Yeah, you're basically a small furry individual. You're placed from country to country. You're flown from country to country, and you just parachute in and try to be yourself. It's great.
And in the New York that you describe in your latest book, Super Sad True Love Story, give us some of the headlines of things that have transpired that maybe we could have imagined, but none of us is as good as you.
It's so funny. When I started writing this book in 2006, I imagined some really impossible things like Lehman Brothers collapsing.
Whoa.
Or Chrysler and GM collapsing.
Get out.
I know. And as I started writing this book, I thought, okay, it's got to be worse and worse and worse to the point where the whole country gets bought by a giant Norwegian hedge fund. That's one headline, I guess.
Yep.
Our war in Venezuela goes very, very badly. Not so good on that. And there's a new kind of jeans called onion skin jeans, which are completely transparent and very beautiful.
Now, is this an attempt to sort of roll up your sleeves and jump into American culture? Or are you literally making fun of American culture with all the acronyms, the bizarre headlines, the sort of sense that we all have of sending our personal information via some sort of iPhone app constantly throughout the world?
Well, I spent two books sort of destroying Russia piece by piece, or the former Soviet Union. But my friends who have read this book said, you know, your previous books, they were sort of in the abstract. You know, Absurdistan was this abstract country somewhere. But this time, it's really hitting home because it's not just some weird country that's burning. It's the Walmart that's burning. It's the JCPenney that's burning. I really wanted, maybe it's because I feel more of an American these days than I ever have in my life, because when you start to feel like you're losing something that you love, which is this country, you really begin to think about it in a different way and you begin to write about it.
Do you feel like you're losing?
Something is fading away. Some sense of ourselves is fading away. And I'm not sure exactly what the culprit is. The book throws darts at many, many things. Partly it's our political system, which obviously isn't working so hot. A lot of it is the fact that our economic system isn't so hot and that there's finally some competitors out there like China, which can, you know, America is not really meant to be a second-tier power. We have a very messianic belief of ourselves, the way Russia does, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just some schlubby country. We're America.
Right. Yeah. Get that through your head. Well, you know, you stand in a long and venerable literary tradition, it seems to me. I actually read your book while I was reading Dead Souls by Gogol.
That one's better.
It is better. I don't want to blow your own horn. But it does do something very similar. It basically pokes fun at reality by poking fun at Russia. And this sort of absurdity of living in a time of change is very much what Gogol is about. Do you see yourself in this tradition, and do Russians have a unique perspective on living through change?
Well, that's very interesting. You know, when you think of a novel like War and Peace, for example, Tolstoy, a brilliant book that was written in the 1860s, but it was about 1812. Not all of it, but some of it was about 1812. And yet, in the intervening 50 years, not that much had changed. A horse was still a horse. A carriage was still a carriage. Tolstoy did not have to worry about the latest killer app when he was writing his book.
Right.
You know, change is so quick right now that it's very hard to write a novel because there's no present anymore. We're always living in the future. So the only way that I could bring it back to Earth was to create a real love story between two people, one of whom is from the old days where people still read books and try to be introspective and meditative, and the other is basically from the future where all people do is shop online.
Lenny and Eunice.
Lenny and Eunice, my two. I really fell in love with them as I was writing them. They're so cute.
And the boy gets the girl.
Yeah, he sort of gets her.
And does the girl get reality?
The girl begins to get reality, and then reality slowly shifts away as the whole country explodes.
You know, in hearing you talk about this book and in reading this book And in reading your work, you believe, it seems to me, you may be losing America. You may be losing your sense of being Russian. You may have a kind of dystopian, sort of cynical view of the world, but you believe in literature. You believe in writing.
You know, it's sort of my religion. I mean, I wasn't so great in Hebrew school. I think I was the worst Talmudic scholar ever. But I really do believe in literature. I want people to wake up the way they used to and run to the bookstore and say, "Oh my God, I have to read this." Not because it's going to change their lives, but because just simply it's entertaining. It's fun. Everything I write, I try to inject a lot of humor and also some pathos too, and that's where the love comes in.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the future. Fox News in the sad true love story of this book becomes Fox Liberty Prime and Fox Liberty Ultra. The New York Times becomes the New York Lifestyle Times. Got a future for the takeaway?
You guys will be the last people standing, I think. The NPR forever.
Wow, really?
Yeah, NPR forever.
PRI, Public Radio
International. Oh, PRI, whatever. PRI, NPR.
But you're into acronyms in this book, though.
Yes.
Give us some.
My favorite is TIMATOV, which is TIMATOV, which is Think I'm About to Openly Vomit. That's my favorite.
Brick.
Brazil, Russia, India, China, that actually exists. And there's one that I can't use, which refers to a heinous sexual act.
Well, we can talk about NORC, N-O-R-C.
Oh, the Naturally Occurring Retirement Community.
Explain how that works in real life.
Well, I used to live in one until 2 weeks ago when I was thrown out for being too old. No, it's a retirement community that exists within a city block. So let's say an area of New York has a lot of older people, and they build facilities for them, like, hospice services and things like that.
What a happy thought.
It's a transitional
indeed.
Place.
Yeah, you're a bit of an anthropologist, right?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Brands converge in the Gary Steingart future, right?
Yes.
Lando Lakes becomes Lando Lakes GMF Ford Credit Allied Waste CVSC Citigroup account.
Yes, because I think Lando Lakes has a brilliant future. It's all about butter, and I'm a huge consumer of butter. A slice of butter with a shot of vodka for breakfast is how I begin my day.
But butter meets Ford Credit?
Butter is much stronger than Ford Credit down the line. So I think it's just going to envelop Ford Credit. It's so spreadable.
And for people who haven't read this book, and I would definitely recommend it, what exactly is an operati?
So the operati is sort of almost an advanced kind of iPhone, very, very advanced. What it does is it ranks you. So as soon as you enter a room, you're automatically ranked. You know that you're, let's say, the 13th ugliest person in the room and the 8th poorest person in the room and the 4th smelliest person in the
room.
This
is very Kremlin-esque, it seems to me. You're taking sort of dystopian technology and sort of remapping it back onto the old Soviet Union.
It's so great. There's so much continuity in my life. From one dystopia to another. You know, 1984 and this book are not entirely dissimilar, because they are about controlling societies and also a love story. 1984, the one thing I remember from it the most is Winston and Julia. They're in love. They're mismatched.
Right.
They're in love.
Right.
But at the same time, it's the state that's trying to pry them apart. Here is the technology that's trying to pry them apart, the fact that they're from different planets.
You're the only person that remembers the love story in 1984.
I know.
So has this book made you an HNWI?
A high net worth individual?
That's right.
Yeah. No, I just got an email from Goldman Sachs saying, now that you have over $10 million in assets, could you please join our high net worth individual program?
Just some of the fiction from the mind of Gary Steingart, author of the new novel, Super Sad True Love Story. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, go back to Absurdistan. Get out of here.
I'm out of here.
Oh, that was great.
Thanks.
If you'd like to get a head start on next day's show, or you want to get more information about our summer reading list, head over to our website. You can also get the head start on starting conversations about books like that one by sending the word START to 69866. Every day we'll send you a topic that we're going to cover the next day, and you get a chance to weigh in early. Just send START by text to 69866. Tomorrow we're talking to Valerie Plame about nuclear weapons. I'm Celeste Headley.
I'm John Hockenberry. I'm not a high net worth individual either. This is The Takeaway.